Well, good morning, everyone. It's great that we can be here together this morning, here on a beautiful, sunny Sunday morning to meet together as God's people. My name's Andrew. I'm going to be leading us through the first part of our service this morning, and a little bit later, Pastor Jack is going to be bringing to us God's Word as we wrap up our short series looking at Habakkuk. Now, if you're a visitor with us this morning, welcome. We're so thankful that you've come to join us. Whether you've been invited along by someone or you've just happened along, we're so glad to see you. We would love to get to know you, and there'll be a chance for that after the service today as well. But please stick around. We would love to get to know you. A few housekeeping matters for you if you need. We have a creche that runs for children aged 0 to 2, and that's running from now in the service. And you can find that if you head out of the auditorium to your left through into the kids' zone, you'll find the space in there. So you can use that now. Now, being school holidays, there's no Sunday school today, so we have the privilege of having all of you kids stay in the service with us, and we are so excited for that. Hopefully, you've grabbed an activity sheet already from the back table. If not, maybe during these first two songs, you can go and pick one of those up. For the adults who also like an activity sheet, there's also a Bible passage sheet there, which you can also grab and make use of. There's a parents' room that you can use at the left of the auditorium as well. And if you're in need of the toilets, they're back towards the main front doors and just down the hall on your left. Now, in all of that, if you have any questions or at the end of the service you'd like to talk to someone a little bit more, the welcomers who you would have seen coming in this morning in the black Riverbank t-shirts will have all the answers that you could possibly need. Or if not, anyone else around you, we would love to get to chat and get to know you and answer any questions that you may have. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. These words from Psalm 63, written by King David in the desert, describe a deep thirst for God, like a traveller in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Perhaps you feel a similar way this morning, longing for something more than what this world can offer. For each of us, that dry and weary land may look a little bit different. For some, it's been a week of relentless demands from work or family, leaving you feeling empty. For others, it might be the sting of fresh disappointment, a lingering anxiety about the future, or just a general sense of being worn down by the constant noise and pressures of this world. Our personal journeys through this life often remind us that even in its best moments, they are fleeting, and its promises often leave us thirsty for something more lasting, something true. And the good news is, we come to the right place here this morning, for this is a place where we have seen God's power and glory before. David goes on to say why he seeks God so desperately. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Brothers and sisters, God's love shown to us in Jesus Christ is our greatest treasure. It is better than life itself. And so in response to this great love, we're going to join our voices together today. But before we do that, let's come to our Lord in prayer. Father, we have heard your call to worship you. We come now, thirsty and longing, acknowledging that your love is indeed better than life itself. Meet us here, we pray. Satisfy our weary souls with your presence and receive the praise that we bring. May our hearts and voices glorify you now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, let's stand together and do that now.
Truth you now bring us, shine on me, shine on me. shield, all my darkness, shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Set forth your word. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. Shine, but God who calls.
Take a seat. One of the great privileges that we have as a church is that God doesn't just call us to believe the gospel and be done with it, but he encourages us to participate in the proclamation of the gospel. Now, there's many ways in which we do that, but one of the ways is that we partner with a whole different group of ministries. When we pray for and give to missions and ministries, we are doing more than just supporting a good cause. We are taking up our joyful responsibility as partners in the gospel, joining with Christ in his mission to seek and save the lost. And this is why Riverbank partner with many ministries, locally, nationally, and around the world. Now, this morning, we have the joy of turning our attention to a ministry that we support that is doing vital work right on our doorstep. Well, not right the other end of the state, but close enough. It's a ministry called FOCUS, which stands for the Fellowship of Christian University Students here in Tasmania. Now, university can be a time of immense change and questioning for students. And this is especially true for international students who arrive in Hobart not only to study, but to navigate a new culture, a new language, and life far away from all of their family and friends. And this is where FOCUS steps in. But I'm going to let Luke share some more information in this video.
Hello, Riverbank Church. My name is Luke Hansard, and I oversee the International Ministry on UTAS campus in Hobart. I've been doing it for 18 years, and I still love it, and I'm so grateful for your partnership. It's such a privilege to be able to proclaim Jesus to people who don't know him, and to do it week in and week out all year. For those of you who don't know or need a refresher, we run subbies on a Tuesday night, and that's mostly for South Asians, Indians, Nepalese, Pakistani, Bangladeshis, Sri Lankans. And on Friday nights, we have Friday Night Focus, and that's mostly for East Asians, mostly mainland Chinese people. They are two quite different groups, but both seek to bring free food, fun, friendship, and teaching from the Bible to people. The South Asians believe that Jesus is one of their million gods, and so they need to be called on to leave their gods behind and follow the true and living God. The East Asians have no real idea about who Jesus is and what he's done, but are really curious about him. I'm joined by Suraj, who's looking after the Subbies ministry, and Kath, who's looking after the East Asian ministry alongside of me. And we have Lakshana, who's beginning a full-time apprenticeship with us next week. Lakshana is from Sri Lanka, and she hopes to get a ministry to South Asian women up and going from within Subbies. Well, it's mid-autumn festival time for our East Asians, and I had the privilege of speaking to a gathering at the Kingston Christian Reformed Church on Saturday night. There were apparently just under 300 attendees there. This Friday Night Focus will have its own mid-autumn festival. Of course, there will be nowhere near 300 people going to that, but I'll be speaking there too. It's a great opportunity, the Mid-Autumn Festival, to talk about, to tell the story of the prodigal son, and to talk about how through Jesus there is a way to return to God's family. Well, we have 4 weeks left of our weekly events until we go into an exam break for 3 weeks. And for two of those 3 weeks, God willing, Jan and I, my wife and I, will travel to China, Malaysia, and Singapore to visit some ex-staff, some ex-volunteers, and a couple of our current supporters as well. Can you please pray for that trip? It will be just my wife and I heading off and leaving our three boys behind. They're getting old, so 21, 19, and 14, leaving those guys home alone. It'll be like Christmas for the 14-year-old, but it's a bit scary for us, especially visiting these places that don't enjoy the same freedoms that we do here in Australia. Could you please pray for that? And could you also please pray for three of our students who seem very close to turning to the Lord Jesus? Can you pray for Roman and Bella and Gavin? Well, Well, that's it for me. Again, thanks so much for your partnership. I love this ministry. I'm so thankful to God for the opportunity that we have to make disciples from all nations, from the comfort of our own country and campus. Thanks.
A little later in the service, we will have the opportunity to support the work of Focus financially through our offering. But for now, let us spend some time in prayer together for the points that Luke mentioned and for the whole of this ministry. So please join me in prayer. Our gracious and sovereign God, we thank you for the wonderful privilege of being partners in your gospel mission. We thank you for the work you are doing in our city and to the ends of the earth. Specifically this morning, we give thanks to you for the ministry of Focus and Subbies. We praise you for the many events that they are able to run and for every student who has come along, shared a meal, found a friend, and heard the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray for the leadership of this vital ministry. Please grant them abundant energy for the task and deep wisdom as they seek to serve the students that you bring to them. Sustain them, encourage them, and strengthen their hands for your work. We also lift up Luke and Jan to you as they prepare to travel overseas. We ask for your hand of protection to be upon them, granting them safety in all their journeys. We pray that their time reconnecting with past staff, volunteers, and students would be a rich encouragement to all. And Lord, we pray for their three children who will remain here. Please watch over them, keep them safe, and grant them peace in their parents' absence. Finally, Lord, we pray for the students themselves. For those who are hearing the gospel for the first time, we pray that you would open their hearts to your truth. We especially lift up to you Roman, Bella, and Gavin. Father, would you overwhelm them with a sense of your deep and steadfast love for them in Christ. Remove any barriers to their belief and draw them to put their trust and hope completely in Jesus for their salvation. We ask all of this for your glory and for the building of your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, it's time for the kids' talk. If I can have all the kids come and join me up the front. Come on. Come and sit nice and close.
We do have your Lucas's drink.
Thank you. I'll get that later. Just sit down. All right, come on in. Come and sit nice and close, guys. That is close. It's good to see you all. It looks like some have already gone away on holidays. How good is that? Well, today we are learning a story about a man named Habakkuk. Can you say that? Habakkuk. Well done. Bit of a tricky name. Now, Habakkuk lived a long, 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 long time ago, even before Jesus. His story is in the Old Testament of the Bible. Habakkuk trusted God, but he knew that there were hard times coming. So I'm going to read a couple of verses from chapter 3 of Habakkuk. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. Wow, it sounds a bit sad, doesn't it? What are the things that Habakkuk doesn't have? Food, yeah? Didn't have sheep, so they didn't have wool, so they couldn't make clothes. What else? Water, well, I didn't really mention water, but he may have not had water. That's true. That's right. It sounds like Habakkuk didn't have lots of things like food or fruit or milk or clothes. Now, how would you feel if you didn't have any clothes? I reckon it'd be pretty cold, wouldn't you? Pretty sad, yeah? And what about if you went to the fridge or you went to your cupboards at home and opened them up to have something to eat and there was nothing there? How'd you feel? You'd feel pretty hungry. And feel pretty sad. I reckon we would. I reckon we would be very sad. But do you know what was really exciting? Habakkuk knew some really good news. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
In verses 18 and 19 of chapter 3 in Habakkuk, he says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength." So those other things, the nice food, the warm clothes, they're not what Habakkuk was looking for. They weren't where he found his joy or his strength. His joy and his strength come from God, our Savior. So how does God bring us joy? He shows us love through what he's done for us, through Jesus. He forgives us and accepts us as his own children. He made everything and is in control of everything. And that's what sovereign means. When we trust in him, he is always with us. Come over there. So, all right, listening up. Even when things are not going to plan, if we're a bit unhappy because someone took away our toy, or if we're feeling really sad about something even more serious, we can always have joy in God, our Savior, because he loves us and he is in control. How amazing is that? Pretty good, isn't it? Let's pray together. Can you fold your hands, bow our heads, and we're going to pray. Dear God, thank you that no matter how hard things get in our lives, you are always in control and you never take away your love from us. Please help us to trust in you and find our joy in you every day. Amen. Now, because it's school holidays, there's no Sunday school. You get to stay in with us, but there is a creche. So if you want to go to creche, if you're up to four, you can go and do that. Otherwise, we'll go back to sit in our seats in just a moment. But first, why don't we jump to our feet and we're going to sing our song together.
God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. He's higher than a skyscraper, and he's deeper than a submarine. He's wider than the universe and beyond my wildest dreams. And he's known me and he's loved me since before the world began. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. He's higher than a skyscraper, and he's deeper than a submarine. He's wider than the universe, and beyond my wildest dreams. And he's known me, and he's loved me, since before the world began. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. And he holds us in his hands. And he holds us in his hands.
Well done, everyone. Thank you. Right, you can go back to your seats. And if you haven't grabbed an activity sheet, make sure you go grab one. And as they're all coming back to you, we're all going to stand and sing together once again.
There's future grace that's mine today, that Jesus Christ has won. So I can face tomorrow, for tomorrow's in your hands. All I need you will provide, just like you always have. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. Don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. There's mercy in the waiting, manna for today. And when it's gone, I know you're not. You are my hope and stay. When the sea is raging, your spirit is my help. You fix my eyes on Jesus Christ. I'll say that it is well.
Oh, I know that it is well.
Right, a few quick announcements for us this morning. Like we said earlier, here at Riverbank, we love to give back to the work of God out of the rich blessings that He has given to us. So our offering this morning is for Focus and for their ministry as well. So if you would like to support them financially, you can scan the QR code on the screen behind me and that will take you to the details where you can do that. You can also give cash if that's what you're prepared to do. There's a cash box on the wall to the right as you leave the auditorium. And you'll also find the information there on how to give electronically. Now, we would also encourage you to give to the work of our local church here at Riverbank. This is a separate account, but you can find the details for those in the same places, so on the QR code and at the cash box at the back. Now, if you are visiting with us today, again, there is no obligation for you to give, but if you're feeling generous and you would like to partner with and support the work of Focus, then please feel free to as well. After our service this morning, after we've sung our last song, that's not the end of our time together. We would love to continue to meet together in fellowship. We would love you to join us and stay for a coffee, whether that be a coffee or a cup of tea, in the cafe at the back. We would love to get to know you a bit more, answer any questions that you have, and just have a really good chat. If you're a member or a regular here and your surname starts with K or L, it's your turn to clean up for us. So we thank you for that as well. At 5 o'clock this evening, we'll be having another service as well, and we would love for you to come and join us for that. This evening, Tim Terpstra is going to be continuing on in our series looking through the Apostles' Creed and looking through 1 Peter. So please come along and join us for that. There's a whole heap of other bits of information that you can find in our newsletter, and you can get that by talking to Mariette in the office, and she'll be able to put you onto our mailing list for that. We are going to spend some time together in prayer now, and I'm going to use the words of Psalm 19 as the basis for our prayer. So let's come before our God in a time of prayer.
Thank you.
We're going to open God's word now. We're going to read together. We're going to be reading the last little bit of Habakkuk chapter 3. So please, if you have a Bible, open it up and read along with me. And then please keep it open through Jack's preaching as well. It's great to be testing what he is saying against what God says in his word. So Habakkuk chapter 3. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, on Shigionoth. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. But he marches on forever. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode your horses and your chariots to victory? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens. At the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear you pierced his head. When his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. For the director of music on my stringed instruments.
Thanks, Andrew, and good morning, everyone. Great to see you all. Friends, this is the third and last time that we are looking at the book of Habakkuk. And as we've been reading and considering the first two chapters of this book, we've seen that the overarching feeling and emotion that is coming through to us is a deep sense of confusion. Habakkuk is a man of God. He's a prophet. He's a faithful believer. But yet he finds himself to be utterly bewildered, totally perplexed. He just doesn't understand what's going on. In his first complaint, he laments, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing?" Habakkuk could not comprehend how there could be so much trouble and so much evil and so much unfairness amongst God's own people, the nation of Judah, and yet God was doing nothing about it. But then we saw that the Lord replied, assuring him that justice was coming. The Lord said, I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. God was sending this feared, dreaded nation, this powerful, proud empire to brutally punish his people for their sins. And that makes Habakkuk even more confused. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil, he says. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? How on earth could the Lord use such a depraved nation to bring justice on the people who he is supposed to love? God's response to their deep troubles is to send even greater troubles. And so Habakkuk's heart, it's in turmoil. He was fearful. He was frustrated. He was impatient. He was, to use one of my all-time favorite words, utterly discombobulated. The state of the world, the state of his life, and the ways of the Lord, they just made no sense to him. He was exceedingly and totally confused. You know, this past Wednesday morning, as we sat around the table at my growth group discussing last week's passage and sermon, we came to realize that we're so much like Habakkuk. Every one of us have times and ways in which we lament, just like he does. We cry out to God, what's going on in this world? Why are there so many wars? Why are there so many people being needlessly injured and killed? Why are so many dying of starvation, bound up in slavery, entrapped by drugs and pornography and perversions? Why so much crime and corruption? Why are the wicked prospering while the innocent suffer? And why is there such severe persecution of your own church, of those who place their trust in you? Lord, we know you can fix it. You're the one who makes wars cease, who breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire. But you don't seem to be hearing us. You don't seem to do anything. You don't seem to care. We cry out, God, what's going on in my life? Why do I face such burden, such struggle? Why do you add illness upon illness? Why so much tension, unkindness, conflict, so much stress and heartache and grief? Why do my loved ones turn away from you? Why do I always feel like I'm such a failure? Why do I have such sadness and so much discontent? And why do I feel like you're so far away? Lord, it seems that you ignore me. You don't listen to my prayers, that you only let things get worse. My life's already tough and the road ahead looks even tougher. And I'm not sure if I can bear this anymore. And as a result, just like Habakkuk, we can feel utterly frustrated and discouraged and confused. Well, last week we also saw the Lord's second reply. He told Habakkuk that Babylon would indeed bring his punishment upon Judah, and that there indeed were harder times ahead. But yet he also reassured the prophet that Babylon too would be held to account. He says, woe to all those who sin against me without repentance or remorse. And yet in the midst of all of this judgment, God provides a glorious hope. Do you remember chapter 2, verse 4? It says, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. A superb pointer to the gospel. The righteous will live. The righteous will be ultimately and eternally saved by faith in God. And verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And verse 20, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. God reminded Habakkuk and all the faithful that he is still in control and that the day is approaching when he is going to make everything right. And that, my friends, is what leads us into Habakkuk chapter 3. For what we discover here is that while the prophet had been so filled with doubt and exasperation and bewilderment, that he actually had heard God's answer. And he actually had listened to God's response. And as a result of that, he's come to see and to understand things so much clearly than he ever has before. This man, my friends, has found clarity after confusion. And what we have in chapter 3 here is a prayer. Verse 1 says it's a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet. It's his final words of devotion to the Lord. But this prayer, it is also a psalm. It is also a song. The musical notations show us that the people of Judah, they were so encouraged by his stirring words that they would use them to worship their God. And so what is the content of this psalm, this prayer that is also a psalm? What's Habakkuk's ultimate reaction as he finds this clarity after all of his confusion? Well, two things. First, he remembers, and second, he rejoices. First, he remembers, and we're looking at verses 2 to 16, especially verse 2, which really summarizes the whole section. And he begins there by saying, Lord, I have heard of your fame. He says, Lord, I may have doubted you. I may have questioned you. I may have complained to you. But now I remember. I remember how great you are. In the following verses, he speaks of the Lord's holiness and his glory and his praise and his splendor. He speaks of his power and his might and his fearsomeness, of his anger and his wrath and his rage. And he speaks of his heart of deliverance and of salvation and of grace. Just like we can, Habakkuk had forgotten who he was dealing with. He had spoken to God just a little too much as an equal. He had spoken to God with just a little too much arrogance and a little too much challenge. But now he remembers just how astounding and how formidable and how wonderful the Lord really is. But he also remembers what the Lord has done. Again, back in verse 2, I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Not just his greatness, but also his actions. Habakkuk says, I've been calling on you, God, to listen, to show love, to do justice, to take action. And all the while, I've been forgetting all of your saving works of the past. But now I remember. And if you look at verses 3 right through to 15, what we find there is this long litany of the times and the ways and the means in which God has delivered his people over and over and over again. And it's so gloriously poetic that it can be hard to pinpoint exactly which events Habakkuk is referring to. There seems to be reference here to the Lord's awesome appearance to his people on Mount Sinai. There seems to be reference to Israel's miraculous crossing of the Jordan River into the promised land and to their great triumph at Gibeon when the sun stood still in the sky. And there is reference to other victories experienced under God's mighty hand. But most of all, Habakkuk speaks of that most famous salvation event when the Lord delivered his people from their slavery in Egypt. He remembers the plagues, that God brought upon Pharaoh and his nation when they refused to let the people go. Verse 5, plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. But he also remembers what happened when the Lord parted the waters of the Red Sea so that his people could pass through on dry land, and how he then released those waters, destroying the Egyptian army who were in pursuit. Verse 8, were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode your horses and your chariots to victory? Verse 10, torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Verse 15, you trampled the seas with your horses, churning the great waters. And as Habakkuk remembered both the Lord, both God's greatness and all of his awesome deeds of deliverance, it gave him confidence that the Lord would deliver again. Back to verse 2, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. Habakkuk was now certain that just as the Lord had saved his people before, that he was able to save them now from the Babylonian onslaught. And later history tells us that's exactly what he did. But this knowledge of God and his deeds, it did not only give him confidence, but it also gave him understanding. Again in verse 2, repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk, he'd been so confused as to how the Lord could allow his people to suffer. But now he understands. He understands that justice had to be done. God's wrath had to come upon all the wickedness of the earth. But yet in the midst of it all was his abundant mercy. He'd always redeem those who trust in him. For the righteous will live by faith. And we see a glimpse in verse 13. It says, you came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. But Habakkuk did not only find confidence, and he did not only find understanding, but he also found patience. Look at verse 16 with me. I heard, he says, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. The prophet and his people, they were in a time of deep trouble, and they knew that even greater troubles were on the horizon, and it caused them such fear and such angst and such torment. But even so, Habakkuk reveals that he has learned to wait patiently, to wait patiently for God, who brings justice and salvation in the end. In these verses, the prophet reveals his reaction after God answered his bitter complaints of chapters 1 and 2. And his first reaction is to remember. It is to remember the fame and the greatness of the Lord. It is to remember his deeds and his acts of deliverance in the past. And all of this gives him confidence and understanding and patience. After all of that confusion, he finds clarity. But there's a second part to his reaction. For he doesn't just remember, but he also rejoices. And now we're looking at verses 17 to 19, right there at the end. This section begins with a most elegant but yet haunting picture of the suffering that is to come. Verse 17, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the field produces no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. This invasion of Babylon, it was going to bring hard times, such hard times. In that agricultural society, there was nothing more terrible than the collapse of their farms and their food supply and the famine and the desperation and the starvation that would result. No figs, no grapes, no olives, no crops in the fields, no sheep in the pens, no cattle in the stalls. It's a picture of abject poverty and misery and distress. But even in this painful realization, the prophet's not complaining anymore. Oh no, he's moved on from that. But rather he says, though all of this would happen to us, though things would get so desperate, verse 18, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. Even in the toughest of times, I know that I still have the Lord, and He always saves His people. And He reinforces it in that final verse, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Oh, friends, we are so weak, but our sovereign Lord is so strong. He sustains us in hardship. He always keeps His promises. He never lets us go. He keeps our feet steady even when we are treading on the rocky ground. And He lifts us above our struggles so that we can see His big picture of grace. Friends, Habakkuk remembered. He remembered his marvelous God and all that He had done. And as a result, he could rejoice. He could rejoice in the Lord, come what may. And that's how he truly did find clarity after all the confusion. But what about us? How should we respond when we're so confused about what's happening around the globe? And when we're so confused about what's happening in our own lives? How should we respond when everything just seems to be out of control and it's only getting worse and we don't know how we can go on? Well, first, we too should take time to remember the greatness of our God. Sometimes we sing these words, the splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end. The Godhead, three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God. We sing it, but do you believe it? Do you actually trust in the Almighty, the all-knowing, the all-loving God who is marvelous and excellent and perfect in all of His ways? You know, sometimes in the midst of our struggles, we can forget His glory and we can forget His holiness and we can forget His power and His grace. But don't forget, my friend, don't forget. Remember the greatness of our Lord. But also remember the things that He has done. Stand in awe of His deeds. For like Habakkuk, we too should turn our minds back and remind ourselves of His mighty acts in ages past. Friends, remember His grace toward Adam and Eve, our first parents, even amid the fall itself. Remember how He saved Noah in that flood and how He protected Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and how He delivered His people in the Exodus, how He sustained them in the desert, how He blessed them as they entered that promised land. And remember all of those victories he gave to them when they were faithful, and how He even preserved Judah after Israel had been wiped out. And how even after Habakkuk's time, God came and rescued his people once more, bringing them back from the exile. But of course, this all points to an even greater deliverance, doesn't it? That deliverance that took place when God sent his own Son into this world to save his people from their sin. There's a reason why in instituting the Lord's Supper, Jesus said to us, "Do this in remembrance of me." For we so quickly forget what our Saviour has done. But we must remember. We must remember the cross where his blood was shed for you. Sometimes we also sing these words: "How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom." When life is tough and God seems far away, remember the cross, where Jesus gave his life and where he suffered your death so that we can be his forevermore. But remember too how the Lord has worked in your life. Did he not choose you before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight? Did he not open your eyes to see and your heart to receive Jesus as your own Saviour? Did he not turn your life around and give you hope of eternal life? Oh, and does he not walk with you every single day, even through the deepest valley, promising always that he will never, ever, ever let you go? I'm sure that every one of us can point to ways in which he has acted in our own lives, healing sickness, repairing relationships, rescuing us from trouble, providing blessings and times of joy and happiness and good things in life. Friends, like Habakkuk, we need to remember the greatness of God and the marvelous things that he has done. And if we do, then we will be able to rejoice. Rejoice in the good times, but also rejoice when those hard times come. And in those times when they are so hard that we just don't understand what's going on. Listen to these words from 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance," he says, "is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." And then Peter says, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." He says, "These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, that your faith may result in praise, glory and honor when Jesus is revealed. Those who trust in the Lord and who know his glorious and eternal salvation, they can rejoice. And they can rejoice even in suffering and grief and trials of every kind. Because, my friends, we know that whatever happens to us in this world, that we are his. We are safe in his hands, both now and forevermore. Do you know this, my friend? Maybe you're feeling a deep sense of confusion even today. Maybe you don't understand what's going on in this world. Maybe you're experiencing such pain and such heartache and such anxiety that you're just struggling to believe that God could really care. Maybe you feel like times are tough and they're only going to get tougher. Well, if that's you, then I urge you this morning to hear God's answer and to respond like Habakkuk did. Take time even today to remember just how marvelous our God is. And take time to remember all the things that he has done in this world, in your life, in your heart. Remember the cross and all the spiritual blessings you have in Christ. May you be able to find clarity after confusion. May you be able to say with the prophet, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. For the sovereign Lord is my strength. Let's pray. Lord, we want to come before you today. And we come to you in our confusion. And we pray, please help us to remember that you are a perfect and a powerful and a loving, gracious God. Help us to remember your saving work throughout history. And most importantly of all, in the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, also your saving work in our own hearts. Lord, we know we would be so far from you had you not reached out, filled us with your Holy Spirit, and turned us to yourself. And Father, we pray that as we remember these things, that it will give us confidence. Confidence that you are with us still. And understanding that things will not always go smoothly, but yet you will make all things right in the end. And Father, may it give us patience to persevere when we are going through hard times. And Father, as we remember all of this, may we also be truly able to rejoice in you. Help us to trust in your grace and your care for us, even in the hardest of times, even in our grief, even in the most difficult suffering that we might face. And Father, help us to know that you are our Saviour and you are our strength and that you will never, ever let us go. We bring our prayers before you in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we're going to stand and sing together, Blessed Be Your Name, a song that reminds us how we can praise God in the good times, but also in the hard times. And just a reminder to parents that if you have children in creche, please take this opportunity to pick them up so that we can conclude our service together.
Blessed be your name in the land that
vineyards is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, do I walk through the wilderness? Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name, when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, on the road marked with suffering, there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away, my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away, you give and take away, my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
How good is it that we can have that clarity, that when we are going through those hard times, that we can remember and rejoice. Our God is faithful and he is sovereign. Well, that's not the end of our time today. We want to encourage you to stay around, have a coffee, get to know each other and chat as well. Again, if you're a member here and your surname starts with K or L, we'd love for you to serve and clean up for us. We would also not want you to leave with any unanswered questions. So if you do have any questions or if there's anything that you would like to talk about, please talk to someone. We would love to help you out with whatever we can. In a moment, we're going to sing one more time before the end of our service, and we're going to sing one of our kids' songs. So all you kids, we want to hear your voices nice and loud. We're going to sing The Lord is King. It's a familiar song to many of us. And we're going to sing the third verse, which we don't normally sing as our kids' song. But I think the words of it are very fitting to what we have heard this morning. But before we do that, I want to leave you with these words from Hebrews chapter 13. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's sing.
but have seen bad things happening on the TV news. You might be worried about the world and wonder what will happen to you. Well, put your trust in God alone, 'cause he's still sitting on his mighty throne. Because the Lord is King, he's gonna look after everything, everything. The Lord is King, he's gonna look after everything, every single thing in this world. 'Cause this is his world. You might get sad and wonder why there's so much pain, why we let the same mistakes happen over and over again. Our sinful ways will always fail, but God and his ways will prevail. Because the Lord is King, he's gonna look after everything, everything. The Lord is King, he's gonna look after everything, every single thing in this world. Look after everything, everything. The Lord is King. He's gonna look after everything, every single thing in this world. 'Cause this is his world. He rules the world. Yeah, this is his world.